Well, God bless you, everybody, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I think God pretty much said what I was going to say in the manifestation, so this will be a bit redundant, I think. So we're going to start out in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Title of this teaching is We Faint Not. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? In verse 18, it says, And he spake a parable, he, Jesus Christ, spake a parable unto them. Them here, in the context, is his disciples. He's not speaking to a general audience, but he's speaking to those who have already believed on him. And in verse 18 also tells you the purpose of why he spake the parable. And the purpose was that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint, according to Bullinger, means to turn out a coward. That is to lose one's courage. And in the New Testament, it's generally to be faint-hearted, especially in view of trial or difficulty, or from moral weakness. It means to become weary, to despond, lose heart in view of trials or evils. And Thayer calls says it's to be exhausted. So we understand what it means to faint. You know, if somebody faints, you know, they pass out. So his purpose of this parable was that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So perhaps we can see that there's a link between not fainting, not quitting, not losing one's courage in life, and in light of prayer, with, you know, by having prayer involved in it. So the one of the things that the word scriptures here encourages us is to pray and not faint. And Jesus Christ illustrated this with this wonderful parable. And we know that the parable doesn't mean that God is like the judge, where he doesn't listen until you wear him out. That's not the point of the parable. The point is that the woman was persistent, and we ought to be persistent in going to God. At the end of it, he says, verse 6, And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus Christ was talking about, would people still be believing? Would they still be believing God when he came on the earth? And so to faint in this context would mean to quit believing God's word. Would somebody still be believing God's word? That was the question he was asking when he came back. And here, this parable clearly shows that one of the ways is to not faint is to spend some time in prayer, as Jesus Christ encouraged. Let's go to Luke 22. So, Luke 22. This was around the time Jesus Christ had started telling people that he would be crucified when he went to heaven. I mean, sorry, crucified when he went to Jerusalem. And at one point in verse 31, Jesus Christ spoke to Simon Peter, and he says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith, what? Fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." See, as always, Jesus Christ was the great example of practicing what he preached. You know, he talked about praying so faith doesn't, you know, people, faith doesn't fail, they don't faint. And he prayed for Peter because he had perceived that Peter was teetering on failing. And Jesus Christ prayed for him. And Jesus Christ fully expected that Peter would come back, because it said, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So in addition to praying for ourselves and keeping an active prayer life so that we don't faint, that we don't quit believing God's word, our faith doesn't fail, we can also pray for others like Jesus Christ here did, to not faint when we see, we're to be, the scriptures tell us, we're to be watchful in prayer for others, you know, watching and paying attention like a watchman watches over a city, paying attention about our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and praying for them so that their faith, they remain strong in their believing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We all understand that God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, right? It's not just he wants all men to be saved, he wants them to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, we certainly it's hardly estimate under eternal life, right? We don't underestimate eternal life, but it's not the only concern that God has. God would have us to all come to a knowledge of the truth. And this coming to a knowledge of the truth is a lifetime pursuit. God would have us to continue to stand on his word, to grow in believing, to live a fruitful Christian lives all of our lives while we wait for Christ to come back or we fall asleep, whichever comes first, but to be faithful. And one of the ways we just learned how to remain strong in that faith and not to quit is by prayer. And in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, we'll see a second way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1 begins with therefore, so we better answer what the therefore is about. Chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians deals with the greater glory of the ministry of the Spirit in comparison to the ministry of the law under Moses. You know, the ministry of law under Moses was very glorious, but the ministry of the Spirit that Paul and other ministers and what we have received today is much more glorious. And in light of that glorious ministry that we have, Paul, along with the other ministers, says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, this glorious ministry, much greater than Moses, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't quit. We don't quit believing. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. They walked in the sight of God, not in the sight of men. They lived their lives in such a way as it was pleasing to God. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world or age, God of this age, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's the God of this age that blinds the minds of people to this gospel. And verse 4 should say the gospel of the glory of Christ, not the glorious gospel of Christ, but the gospel of the glory of Christ. The gospel, this good news that we have here in the church epistles, reveals Christ's upcoming glory and the glory that we are going to share with him. And if people really understood what the benefit of that is for their lives, they would want to believe. They would want to partake of that great glory like we are going to, we know we're going to get to enjoy. But the God of this age blinds their minds and doesn't let them see the great glory that is in the gospel. In verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. They merely proclaimed the gospel. They were living earthen vessels, clay, flesh and blood. And it wasn't their power that was highlighted. It was the greatness of the gospel. That's the gospel of the glory of Christ. And that's where the power is. It's in the gospel. It's in the manifestation of Holy Spirit that comes along with the gospel. And in verse 8, it says, for we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Does this sound like an easy life? We can read other places in the scriptures about the challenges Paul and others endured in preaching the gospel. And he says in verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. What does he mean by all that? He's saying that these challenges, these persecutions, these things that they faced was with a view to bringing the gospel to those people. And it was like they were being crucified, death was working in them because of the challenges they were facing. But the good part was they were proclaiming the gospel, which brought life to those people who heard it. So it's not literally that death was working in them. It's figurative. It's they were facing challenges for the sake of the gospel, but they continued to present the gospel so that others could have life, that wonderful life that comes from the gospel. Verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. So where are their eyes? On the hope of Christ's return, of being raised up together with these saints that they're preaching the gospel to. And so despite all these obstacles that they were facing and the challenges, they had their eyes on being raised together, the gathering together with Jesus, and to be with Jesus Christ along with these saints. And then he says in verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or abound to the glory of God. For which cause we what? Faint not. Okay, we faint not. There it is again. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Sure, they could have focused on the afflictions that they were going through and the challenges and let that be the dominating thought in their mind. But they looked at the unseen things, the eternal things, when they would be gathered together, share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And doing those things, looking to the coming glory, looking to the coming hope of Christ's return, they could state, we faint not. We don't faint. Okay. So we've seen that a prayer life, a strong prayer life, is one of the ways that we can help ourselves not to faint, not to quit on the scriptures. And another great way, another key here to not quitting believing God's word, is to keep our eyes on the hope of Christ's return, to look at the things which are unseen. And the only way you can see these unseen things is what God reveals them. He tells us about the future to come, which is unseen. We have not yet seen the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the heavens, but it's an unseen thing. But we know the scriptures are true and that we will see them one day. So the scriptures help us to see those unseen things as we keep them in our minds. And we're going to finish off in Ephesians chapter 6. You're all very familiar with this section of scripture, and it's a section that encourages all saints to stand, not to quit. And we heard that repeatedly in the manifestations this morning, just to keep standing on God's word. And in chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand." Okay. Stand against the wiles of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? Stand." Stand. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to have faith, have believing, continue to believe him, in him a lifetime. Paul, you know, at the end of his life said, "I have kept the faith. I've kept the believing." He didn't quit in his life until God showed him that he was going to have a crown of righteousness that he was going to give him. And not only to him, but also to all that love his appearing. He stood a lifetime. We ought to make up our minds to stand a lifetime also. Having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. See that great salvation that is coming. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18 is just another reminder of what Jesus Christ encouraged, praying always. Okay, he said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Here it says praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, so we continue to keep our eyes on the hope of Christ's return. This life is very short. It's very fleeting. And we can spend all of our energies on this life alone, or we can look to the life that is to come. And in the meantime, as we're waiting, we have the joy of preaching the gospel of peace, as it says here in chapter 6, of making it known to other people. And we have the access, this wonderful access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can pray for ourselves, pray for one another, watch for one another, so that our faith doesn't fail when trials and tribulations occur, that we're not tempted to quit, but we continue to believe God. And in the end, we're going to be all together and stand with each other that one glorious day when Jesus Christ comes back. We're going to stand in his presence. And that hope just keeps us going day by day, no matter what the circumstances are. So let's just say with Paul and the others, like they said, therefore we faint not. Okay. Well, dear God, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you, God, for how it makes known your will to us. Thank you, Father, how wonderfully we have been taught God's word throughout the years by so many wonderful people. And thank you, Father, that we are such a privileged group of people to have been taught the truth so wonderfully and so well that we can walk in it, don't need to err in it, that we can have this right doctrine so that we continue to stand and not faint in our walks with you. Thank you, Father, for the great grace you shed on our lives so that you pick us up when we do stumble. Thank you for your mercy in all aspects of our lives and your tender kindness toward us in everything. Thank you for these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.